Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, coming to you from my basement out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. I'm a homeschool father of five, and Bill Jackson studio with us today from the Academy.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's good to have you back in studio.
Always good to be had.
Bill, here's a couple of stories that I want to go over from Religion News Service. Now, Religion News Service is not a Christian organization. Apparently, they've taken money from the pro-LGBT cause, and they've got a couple of stories I want to cover, the first of which is a critique on us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Us.
You and I?
Well, yeah.
Yeah?
Fundamentalist Christians, you know, that...
Hey, what do you mean by fundamentalist?
Well, fundamentalist Christians, evangelical Christians that hold to a biblical perspective on stuff. And specifically on the issue of young marriage, they seem to...
We're not married. You and I are.
No, no, no.
Well, we're married, but it has nothing to do with us.
No, but it's young marriage. You remember how we had
and
a
we're not
discussion?
Young.
We had a discussion on our grandmothers were married at 15 or 16 years of age.
Yeah.
Well, that's a sin.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I haven't read my Bible closely enough.
I guess. You haven't. You haven't read their Bible closely enough. That's your problem.
Oh, is their Bible like a psychological study of...
Yeah.
Of,
yeah, now you may remember in the program that we discussed the issue of young marriage, we referred to Marty Robbins. He was one of our theological sources for that program. And apparently, it was a popular song.
Young Love.
Yeah, it was a popular song from the 50s and 60s. Now, see, in the 50s and 60s, it wasn't young sex.
No.
It was young marriage.
Yes.
That was the difference.
Yeah.
They allowed for some young marriage back in the 50s and 60s. Indeed, you know, some kids actually got married at 15, 16, 17 years of age. But now these guys are pretty uptight over us allowing a little freedom for teens who want to get married. The assumption, of course, is that the husband has a decent income and that they want to get married. And hopefully there's some honor for parents in the mix as well. So, you know, we would throw in things like that, which means that we're going back to principle. We're saying, okay, what are the basic principles here that govern the relationships and the marriages that come from our families? And we look to the Word of God, and we encourage young people not to fornicate. It's better to marry than to burn. So, again, these are biblical principles that we go back to again and again. But the Religion News Service, apparently that's not their deal.
Wow.
Yeah. See, apparently Religion News Service, they want to see the teens having sex with anything, everything.
Give in to your lust.
That's right. And then the young lady, she freezes her eggs until she's 48, and then she tries to have a kid.
Yeah.
So that's their worldview.
Instead of I love you forever, I lust you forever.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. And there's a lot of shacking up. There's hooking up. There's about every kind of up you can imagine. But
it's all down.
It's all down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, this is your typical autonomy. It's also a liberal fundamentalism. And I want to contrast liberal fundamentalism to other forms of fundamentalism. And the liberal fundamentalists are horrified, absolutely horrified, about a woman who wants to get married at 16 years of age because they're supposed to have sex before marriage and a job after, as Gloria Steinem has said, and six abortions and as much abortifacient birth control as possible to be sure that, you know, maybe additional 20, 25 children have... been incapable of surviving in the womb, and a career job where they can make $35,000 a year and pretend like they're independent of the state or pretend that they're independent of 16 layers of corporate management. So that's the worldview. That's the worldview of Religion News Service, and I think they have their own commandments. You know, the idea that the left is without law or without any form of ethic or without any form of conviction is not right. They actually are some of the most opinionated people on planet Earth.
Yeah, they're the most intolerant.
They are extremely intolerant.
Because they have very rigid rules.
Right, and I think we need to start referring to liberal fundamentalists as liberal fundamentalists. And I came up with the Ten Commandments of American modernism, liberalism, and feminism, as well as that which belongs to the Religion News Service. Now, these are the Ten Commandments of the American liberal. Would you like to hear them?
I would.
Okay.
But am I going to get really depressed?
Well, you may be convicted of sin.
Ah. Cultural sin?
As defined, yes, as defined not by God, but by the Religion News Service and the Ten Commandments.
So the Religion News Service is saying, come, let us reason together, but they've left the last part out?
I guess so.
That now, our sins are as scarlet?
We're picking on the Religion News Service because you could pick on UPI, AP. We could pick on ABC, NBC, CBS. We could pick on Fox News, for that matter. But the Ten Commandments of American Modernism brings in an ethical assumption, that is, that if you do not conform to the ethical assumptions of the day, to the law as belonging to the zeitgeist of the day, man, you are heterodox, you are to be burned at the stake, you have broken the law, you have sinned against the liberalism of the day, and you are going to go to liberal hell for that. Now, again, my friends, this is the religion of the left. Everybody's got a religion. Everybody's got a law. Everybody's got a definition of sin. Everybody's got a salvation. Salvation comes by the state, according to the socialist liberals of the day. But the Ten Commandments of American Modernism begins with, thou shalt have no more than 1.9 kids.
Ah.
I think you broke that one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost.
I did, too.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. Close to doubling it.
Yeah.
You certainly did.
Well, yeah. I can remember my wife running off the grocery store, five kids behind them. The typical question, are all those yours?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever heard that one before?
Oh, yeah.
Are those yours?
I think it was Mike Ferris who, you know, he had a passel of kids, and he was often asked, are you Catholic?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, just a lusty Baptist.
Is that what he said?
Something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. What I've said is, they're all ours. Five blessings. Now, one woman came back to my wife and said, I've got two. You want them?
Oh.
Yeah. Pretty painful. But yeah, anyway, okay, so the Ten Commandments of American Modernism begins with, thou shalt have no more than 1.9 kids. Second commandment, thou shalt take God's name in vain all day long.
As often as possible.
That's right. And thou shalt use the S word and the F word mm-hmm. when referring to Republicans.
And claim that it's a matter of free mm-hmm. speech.
And thou shalt not use the N word ever unless you have a certain skin color yourself.
So, and then you can use it frequently against others of a certain skin color. But you can't even talk about that and refer to the word as being a pejorative.
I hope people understand.
You just have to refer to the initial.
I hope people understand that there is hypocrisy within the systems. There is inconsistency within the systems. And so we often point this out, my friends, that, yes, the unbelieving crowd, the atheists, the agnostics, they come up with their own law, have no basis for the law that they propose, and then they contradict themselves, and they cannot maintain any consistency to the law that they have established for themselves. So that, by the way, is also Romans chapter 2. You can find the Apostle Paul making that accusation towards the Gentiles. All right, so here's now the third commandment. Thou shalt never marry a girl under 17 years of age if you're a guy. If you're a girl, all bets are off.
Yeah, you can marry whoever you want.
Whatever. Yeah.
Whatever.
So thou shalt have sex with whatever thou wantest is, I believe, the fifth commandment.
Mm.
So, and that's pretty much it, isn't it? That's it. They demand free sex. And they have, since the 1960s, no back that up to the 1930s, no back that up to the 1920s. It was Mark Twain that demanded that women should participate in serial adulterous relationships. That was Mark Twain writing in the early 1900s. Friends, this kind of free sex worldview has been around for 100 years. Now it's assumed. I'm telling you, it is assumed. It is, if anybody questions the right of the kids belonging to Religion News Service or to anybody else in America, if anybody in any way compromises the right of those kids not to have sex with something they want to have sex with, then they have violated the commandments of the left. Let's move on. Thou shalt never say to anybody, thou shalt have no other gods before you.
Well, actually, they say have as many gods or whatever gods you wish.
That's right. But you shall never say, thou shalt have no other gods before you. Now, of course, God violated that commandment.
Hmm. He's pretty intolerant.
He's intolerant. He will not tolerate any competition, even amongst the human gods that are constantly jockeying for position and trying to nudge him out of his position. But, of course, that's all futile. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. All right, folks, as we wrap up this segment, so the Ten Commandments of American Modernism and Liberalism, thou shalt steal from the rich and give to the poor, keeping 60% for thyself for administrative costs, of course. You follow me here? Isn't that pretty much what happens?
Exactly.
Thou shalt steal from the rich and give to the poor, keeping 60% for
administrative costs. Let me just add, in the name of the government.
There you go.
There you go.
Thou shalt covet the rich, of course. Thou shalt not kill animals, or at least cute animals. Thou shalt only kill cute babies if they happen to be inconvenient. Again, the laws of the left, my friends. The laws of the left, yes, they are fundamentalists. Yes, they have their own ethical code. They have their own commandments. And, of course, honor thy Marxist professors and CNN and Lady Gaga more than your parents' stupid opinions about sex, politics, and stuff. That, my friends, is the Ten Commandments of the liberals. They have their laws. They have the social mores. And they are more fundamentalistic about it than the Islamic fundamentalists. Trust me on that. So, friends, again, we encourage Christians to not create their own laws as the leftists have. By the way, Christian fundamentalists often create their own laws. Thou shalt not dance, drink, or chew and go with girls who do. So that is I'm going after any fundamentalist that creates a law that is autonomous to the laws of God.
You know, everybody's legalistic about something.
Everybody wants to be legalistic. Yeah. Everybody wants to create their own little laws.
I'm still trying to figure out how to be legalistic about grace, you know?
Why doesn't anybody want to go back to the law of God? Yeah. That's a simple question. What does God want? Well, that's the key. That's the key question to this. And that's why we come back to it again and again. We're not going to define sin on any other terms than the way God has defined it in His Word. And thank God that Jesus Christ, His Son, came to save us from our sins, that is, the transgressions of the laws of God. Not the transgressions of the laws of the left. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. And we are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack in studio from Worldview Academy. And today we're going to talk about Religion News Service.
Hey, Kevin, did you hear the latest? It's all over the news, and it is Prince, what's his name, Harry, whatever his name is, he's getting engaged.
Yes.
And Americans are fascinated by
it. Yes, they are.
We have engaged to the prince, an American woman.
That's true, yeah. He fell in love with a divorcee American. Herein lies a little bit of the clincher.
Wait. Back in the 40s, wasn't it, or the 30s, Prince Edward, wasn't
that's right.
He,
Prince Edward VIII away with it.
He had to give up his throne.
He didn't.
Yep. Why?
He did. Because he wanted to marry a divorcee.
Well, yeah. What's the big deal?
You know, it's interesting. Well, number one, it turns out, and this we take issue with too, the monarch in England is still at the head of the Anglican Church.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. So
Henry VIII,
they hold the king, the queen, the princes, the princesses to a bit of a higher standard in England because of their connection to the church. Now, of course,
they used to.
This has been compromised, and this is the point of Religion News Service story. I think it was also covered by USA Today. But a British royal marrying an American divorcee in 1936 threw the entire British monarchy and the Church of England into crisis. And it turns out that is not the case with Prince Harry deciding to marry Meghan Markle. It turns out, a little history on this, in 1936, Edward VIII decided to give up the throne because he engaged himself to a Baltimore socialite, Wallis Simpson. Evidently, she was American as well, another divorcee.
Wallis Simpson.
America has always led the divorce culture. They've been a little bit ahead of the curve on the divorce culture since the beginning of the 20th century. So it's no big surprise today that that's the case. But that was the sticking point in 1936, that the king could not divorce and remarry, or could not marry somebody who was previously married and divorced.
Because he's the head of the church.
Because he's head of the church, and because of the words of Christ. In Matthew chapter 18, there was some respect for the word of God in 1936. And in 1953, same thing, actually, with Princess Margaret, who wanted to marry a Captain Peter Townsend, who apparently had been divorced as well. And in that case, she decided not to marry the man because she would have had to give up her right or a position in the royal family. So that all the way to 1953, and then fast forward to 2005, and we have Prince Charles, who was divorced from his first wife, Princess Diana. She died, however, which gave him the right to remarry. And but he remarried a divorcee, Camilla Parker Bowles. Apparently, he was free to remarry as a divorced man. But Parker Bowles' first husband was still alive. That was a bit of a problem, but they figured out how to work around that. They tied the knot in a civil ceremony and just took an Anglican blessing for their marriage at St. George's Chapel at Windsor Castle, conducted by the then Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. So by then, the Church of England had agreed that in certain circumstances, those divorced should marry in church, but not if the relationship of the couple wishing to marry had caused the divorce. So that was the squeeze around that they used at that time. Well, today, Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, revealed no qualms whatsoever about Prince Harry marrying a divorcee, a sign of how the Church of England has changed. I wish them many years of love, he said. I wish them many years of love, happiness, and fulfillment, and ask that God blesses them throughout their married life together. So that's the way it goes. Now, if Markle had been a Catholic, she would have been unable as a divorced woman to marry in her own church unless it had declared her previous marriage invalid.
And she would have been unable to marry Prince Harry because he's an Anglican.
That's right. That's right. Now, the Catholics, of course, are much harder on divorce than the Protestants, and that's been the case for probably 95% of Protestants over at least 100 years. The Protestants have gotten weaker and weaker and weaker on just about every aspect of sexuality and marriage, whereas the Catholics appear to be stronger than some 95% of the Protestant church. Well, after 1,400 years, my friends, of Christianity in England, since Augustine of Canterbury established the church in Essex, what was it, in 600 A.D., and Paulinus established the church in Northumbria, it's over. It's done. Rest in peace. Go get the RIP sign and put it up over there at the church in Canterbury. A funeral is in order for the Church of England, the Church of Scotland, the Anglicans of Scotland, and the rest. Remember that church attendance in England is 5%. Now, why are they softening? Why would they want to soften on divorce? Why would they want to soften on what the Word of God says about these sorts of things, but that they're trying to capture the 4% that is already in the process of apostatizing from the faith? The church is compromising Jesus' doctrine on marriage and divorce. Of course, they are also in the process of compromising on homosexuality. They've put a stamp of approval upon homosexuality a number of times over the last 5 to 6 years. I don't believe the church will officiate homosexual marriage yet, but that should be coming soon. Church of Scotland has already approved it. The Anglicans in Scotland have already approved it. So at this point, my friends, it appears that the church just wants 3 to 4% of the population to hang out and pay a few tithes and make the church look like it's actually got 30 to 40 people still interested in the halls that used to hold 500. So that's pretty much where the Church of England is today. It's rather unimpressive, and the level of compromise going on. This is not the time for compromise, certainly not the time to be saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. This is the point at which we call Prince Harry to repentance. This is the point at which we pull out Matthew 19 and read it again. When it came to pass, Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee. And the Pharisees came to him, testing him, saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And Jesus answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whosoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. His disciples said to him, such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry. Now, the reason Jesus brings this teaching to the Pharisees, and he brings it a number of times in Matthew chapter 5, also Matthew 19, but a big purpose, of course, was to address the hypocritical religion of the day, the powerless religion of the day, that was filled with divorce and sexual sin. The Pharisees thought they had something going, but they couldn't keep their marriages together. The American churches and the English church, the same thing going on. They have not been cleansed from their filthiness. Now, marriage is a beautiful thing. Marriage is a great opportunity to present the pattern of Christ and his church. But it also betrays the true nature of the human heart. It betrays the weakness of American fake religion and American Christian counseling and the American weaky-weaky gospel. And so as we take a look at what's going on in American homes and American churches, we find that the highest divorce rates are in the southern states, where we see the highest church attendance rates. The highest porn download rates are also highest where church attendance rates are the very highest. Marriage rates are lowest in the most liberal states because that's where all the homosexuality and the shackups and the hookups predominate. So that's why the northern states right now have the lowest divorce rates, because the liberal states, the northern states, are the states in which we find the most homosexuality, shackups and hookups. But where do we find the highest divorce rates and the highest porn download rates but in the southern states where we find the highest church attendance rates? And the reason why Jesus is so hardcore about not getting divorced or remarried after divorce is because he wants his people to see the wretchedness of their sinful conditions. He teaches on this because he's pointing out the weakness, the brokenness of their systems, their need for a savior. He came to tell these people, the Pharisees, and of course the Americans and the Englishmen who still think they've got church together, they've got their lives together, when indeed the divorce rates are sky high. He come to say, you're not okay. You have a heart deep issue that involves self-worship, pride, and lust, and eventually works its way into destroying all of your relationships. And these things can only be taken care of by the blood of Christ. These things can only be taken care of by Christ's sacrifice. It can only be taken care of by the Son of God, who came to set the captives free from these sins that dominate in their lives. And that was a message the Pharisees could not receive. And that, of course, is a message that most of the English and most of the Americans who attend the liberal churches, who even attend many conservative churches, cannot tolerate to receive, that indeed they are sinners who are in desperate, desperate need of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. They need to look to him in faith. They need to see that this is why Christ came. You know, it's been my marriage issues that have caused me to cry out for God's mercy as well upon me. When I see my own selfishness, when I see my lack of love, at points, Bill, I've had to get a microscope out, put it up to about 1,000x in order to see the tiny little bit of love that I have for my wife. And it's caused me to cry out to God for salvation, and that God would show me in a new way his love, that I might I might share that love with my own wife. So again, my friends, it's the marriage. It's the marriage that that really heightens and magnifies the need we have for true conversion and true heart cleansing that can only come by the Holy Spirit of God through the work of Christ on the cross.
You know, it reminds me of 2 Timothy 4:4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. And that is what's happening. They have a form of godliness, as you pointed out. They have beautiful churches, yeah, but they're empty because there's no power thereof.
They've lost the gospel. They've lost the sense of what Jesus did. Indeed, Jesus came to save us from our sins. He died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day. And my friends, until that message really penetrates, people aren't interested in that salvation from sin, because that salvation from sin is a deliverance. So deliverance for the captives, it's a forgiveness, but also a cleansing from sin that comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it comes by faith. So we're bringing a message of the gospel to those who live in England and those who live in America today, where we have such a brokenness, such an impoverishment, and such a whitewashed hypocrisy, as if we've got something going in these liberal countries, as if we have something going in these conservative states where the divorce rate is sky high and the church attendance rate is just about as high.
And we bring the law of God to bear in that, because the law is a school teacher. It shows us how much we need a Savior.
That's for sure.
The law is like a thermometer.
Yeah.
You know, when you're sick, you want your temperature, and you take your temperature and say, oh, you've got a fever, you need medicine. You don't eat the thermometer.
Yeah.
You don't get to heaven by eating the law.
Yeah.
You don't get to heaven by eating the Ten Commandments. You get to heaven because you need the medicine of a Savior.
Yeah, another picture somebody once gave on the program was, the law of God is like a mirror. It shows the dirt on your face, but you can't use a mirror to clean yourself up.
No.
You're going to need the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away the sin. And that, my friend, is the gospel. And that's where the gospel of grace comes in. Well, my friends, I'd encourage you to a copy of Keep the Faith on Sexuality, a little book that summarizes the biblical perspective on these issues. Again, it's called Keep the Faith on Sexuality, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Thursday, November 30th, AD 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Six Christians in India's Jharkhand state were recently released after a month in jail on false charges, reports Morningstar News. Hindu extremists in Gosra village attacked the Christians back in September while they prayed for a sick Hindu woman. Officers then beat some of the Christians and imprisoned them for, quote, promoting enmity between classes, end quote. One of the Christians, Dasrath Karketa, said, quote, we spent 1 month in jail joyously. We sang hymns, read the Bible, prayed, and worshiped together, end quote. Karketa said other inmates came to Christ as they shared the gospel in jail. Acts 16 recounts how the Apostle Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God after being beaten and imprisoned for the gospel. They even preached salvation to the jailer, who rejoiced having believed in God with all his household. Last week, the European Court of Justice opened a hearing on recognizing faux marriage between two men or two women. The ruling would redefine marriage in the European Union, where half of the member states hold to a biblical definition of marriage, including Romania. The case arose after Romania denied permanent residency to an American man committed to vile passions with a Romanian man, both of whom wanted the country to recognize their union. Over 30 leaders of government, media, and entertainment in the U.S. have faced accusations of sexual harassment after the exposure of Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein, according to the New York Times. And now, NBC announced yesterday that they have fired Matt Lauer, the two-decade host of The Today Show, over inappropriate behavior in the workplace. Listen to how NBC's Savannah Guthrie announced the news on the air yesterday morning.
For the moment, all we can say is that we are heartbroken. I'm heartbroken from Matt. He is my dear, dear friend and my partner, and he is beloved by many, many people here. And I'm heartbroken for the brave colleague who came forward to tell her story and any other women who have their own stories to tell. And we are grappling with a dilemma that so many people have faced these past few weeks. How do you reconcile your love for someone with the revelation that they have behaved badly? Mm-hmm. And I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that this reckoning that so many organizations have been going through is important. It's long overdue. And it must result in workplaces where all women, all people, mm-hmm. feel safe and respected.
Matt Lauer's second wife, Annette Roque, reportedly filed for divorce in September of 2006, but later withdrew the lawsuit, according to court documents obtained by the National Enquirer. Roque said she suffered, quote, cruel and inhumane, end quote, treatment from the news anchor. Psalm 62, verse 9 says, "Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath." The World View spoke with Patty Lyman, a conservative Christian attorney based in Fairfax, Virginia, about former Today co-host Matt Lauer.
I really am not a bit surprised that Matt Lauer's immoral behavior and that of many of his ilk, other people that share his political views, have come to the surface. These are people that have been defending all manner of sexual assault by Bill Clinton and almost any elected Democrat for years. It's an anything-goes mentality why they pretended to care about women. I'm not at all surprised they've been engaged in this activity. I'm only happy that now, finally, some people are coming forward and they're being held accountable.
Lyman contends that Lauer appears to be not only guilty of sexual assault, but of hypocrisy.
What I find particularly interesting about Matt Lauer is that apparently he and other people at NBC were involved with Billy Bush in October of 2016 in the timing of the release of the Access Hollywood tape that was designed to bring down the candidacy of Donald Trump. Even though Donald Trump in that tape was not talking about sexual assault or anything of the kind, ironically enough, while Matt Lauer thought that he would use this tape to ruin Donald Trump's candidacy, Matt Lauer himself was the one that was engaging in sexual assault and using his power and celebrity to get away with it.
The murder giant Planned Parenthood is losing traction internationally, reports LifeSite News. Last week, the National Court of Spain ruled that the Family Planning Federation, a subsidiary of Planned Parenthood, can no longer be designated a, quote, public service organization, end quote, stripping the organization of government benefits. This comes after the subsidiary was exposed for illegal financing for 7 years. David said in Psalm 5:2, "God shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." On Monday, a federal court clarified a ruling from last month to block President Trump's ban on transgender troops in the military. U.S. District Judge Colleen Collar-Catelli said the U.S. military must receive people pretending to be another gender by January 1st. Collar-Catelli said her original injunction means the military must continue to follow President Barack Obama's transgender military memorandum from last year. A recent survey by Pew Research found a major split between Christians and others on gender issues. The majority, or 63% of Christians in America, mostly Protestants, say someone's gender is determined by their sex at birth. However,
62% of those who do not affiliate with the religion, mostly atheists and agnostics, support gender confusion. Samaritan's Purse is offering their help to the Rohingya Muslim refugees in Bangladesh. The World Views spoke to Ken Isaacs, Vice President of Programs and Government Relations, about their ministry. Isaacs said that he just returned from Bangladesh, and he shared about the ministry God has given Samaritan's Purse there among the Muslim refugees.
We're transparent about who we are, and I think that God is opening doors for us. We're supporting the Christian Memorial Hospital, and it has been there for nearly 50 years and has great favor in the community. And that hospital is doing really complicated orthopedic surgeries that can't be done in the outpatient clinics and the primary health care units that are there. Whether it's with clean water and sanitation or medical care, we can be the hands and the feet of Christ.
And finally, World War II veteran Orville Rogers of Dallas celebrated his 100th birthday recently by running a combined 100 miles with his family members, 4 children, 14 grandchildren, and 11 great-grandchildren. The former pilot and world champion runner told Fox 4, quote, "I'm so grateful. God has been so good to me, especially with family members," end quote. Rogers is the author of the book, The Running Man, Flying High for the Glory of God. And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Thursday, November 30th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.